Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Morbid early and ad-free. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
You're listening to a Morbid Network podcast.
Hey guys, I have to tell you about this all-in-one shake that I'm freaking loving. It's called Cachava. I love saying it. It's actually hands down the best thing that I've found to help me get all my essential nutrients into one day. Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics. In other words, literally everything that your body craves to feel your best. And I know what you're thinking. Something that good for me cannot possibly taste good. Wrong. That's where Cachava really earns their over 52,000 five-star reviews. It actually tastes freaking amazing. It's very creamy and smooth, and it comes together with just water. And it comes in five delicious flavors. Personally, vanilla and chai are my personal favorites, but it also comes in chocolate, matcha, and coconut acai, which I still need to try. Some people like to drink it as part of a healthy breakfast or lunch, and other people love it as a protein-packed snack before or after a workout. It's really perfect for that because it has 25 grams of plant protein per serving. Personally, I like to add mine to my overnight oats. I add a scoop and I mix it all up to get a little more protein into my oats. And literally, I can have that for breakfast and feel satiated, nourished, beautiful, functioning, all throughout my day. It's incredible. Please send me more of it because I love it so much. It makes me feel very, very good. And guess what, guys? Cachava is offering our listeners 10% off for a limited time. Just go to cachava.com/morbid, spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com/morbid. When it comes to travel, we all have that one happy place, whether it's the beach, ski slopes, a little couple's getaway, or even to visit that best friend that you haven't seen in way too long. And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price, so you never have to miss a trip. I even did their jingle, did you hear that? Personally, my happy place is the beach, sitting next to Drew, pina colada in one hand, book in the other. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group. When one person from the squad travels, everybody gets more deals. And you even get to choose your crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. Ugh, just kidding. I love you, family. But it could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save. Maybe I'll invite my mailman. Just kidding. I don't know him. So I'll bring Elena, Mikey, and Dave, and of course, my Who's Band. So download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy price with Priceline.
Hey, weirdos. My name is Ash, and I'm sitting here with somebody that you might know. I am freaking out a little bit. I feel a little bit starstruck. I feel a little bit of butterflies in the tum-tum area because I'm sitting here, and she's just really hating this, but I'm sitting here with a published mother-bleeping author. I don't know if we can swear on this version.
We totally can.
I'm sitting here with a motherfucking published author, Elena Urquhart.
Hey.
She wrote a goddamn book, tinyurl.com/thebutcherandtherun.
Thank you.
Or you can officially get it in stores today.
It's true. It's pub day.
It's pub day. It's pub day.
The baby is out in the world.
I'm so proud of you. Congrats.
Spreading its wings. Thank you so much.
How do you feel?
It's wild.
Yep.
Because I was working on this book before we even started the podcast.
Yeah.
Like years before we started the podcast.
Absolutely.
So it's really wild that it's just come to fruition the way it has. And it's wild, like, you guys fucking rock, because the fact that you were even giving it a chance and the way that you've supported it and supported me, you're fucking amazing. I cannot thank you enough. I am so beyond grateful for each and every one of you. I can't describe it.
No, you people truly, you blow our socks off, and you're blowing Elena's socks off especially.
Truly. And, you know, today is rainy, and it's gloomy, and it's foggy,
It's my ideal weather. If it wasn't so humid and like warm, it would be perfect.
Maybe the rain will break a bit of the humidity.
Yeah, maybe the temperature will drop and it will officially be like exactly what I ordered.
My gosh, imagine.
For this day.
That would be great because I just want the rain to stop a little bit. I'll take the gloom for you because my outfit that I ordered for pub day that matches the book.
I'm obsessed with you.
Is not going to work well in the rain.
I'm literally obsessed with you.
I love you so much.
That's amazing.
All right. Well, I figured that, well, I didn't figure, but like I'm sitting here acting like I made this up. But I thought I could ask you like a couple questions just for pub day for like the listeners and the new readers and everything to kind of hear a little bit more about the process and like the inspiration and all that. So can I ask you some questions?
And this is like a little bonus episode. Just, you know, this is ad free. This is just kind of like an extra this week.
Just because
we were excited and we figured we would give you guys a little sneak peek of the first few pages of a chapter, like the audio version. So we'll plop that in here in a little bit.
Ooh.
And that way, if you haven't bought it and you're on the fence, and maybe it'll intrigue you, maybe not, but I hope it does. And we just figured it would be a fun little bonus thing to do.
Yeah. And you led me, that was like a great segue because I was going to ask you, speaking of like they get to hear a little bit of a chapter. I know that you write a little bit out of order. So I know that you did not start with the first chapter.
No.
That's right.
No.
Do you remember what chapter you did start with?
Yeah, I don't know exactly the chapter number, but it's a chapter that is kind of like one of the big crescendos of the book, and it's like the big gnarly thing that I don't want to give away, but it's basically like almost in the middle somewhere. It's like pretty in the, and then I blossom out from there, whatever. The way I do it, I don't know if anybody else who writes does this, but I just slam my knee into the table, but
wonderful.
Maybe writers do that too, I don't know, but I think of a scene that I really want. And then I'm like, well, I just have to write that. So I write it, and then I just kind of make everything work around that.
Okay.
And then other scenes will pop in, and even if they're completely out of order, I just figure out a way to connect them somehow.
You know, it's so funny. You taught me that, and that's actually how I do morbid episodes.
Really?
Yeah, because you've told me that for so long.
Yeah.
So I'll start morbid episodes like that.
That's so funny.
When you were writing the book, though, did you feel like there was a certain chapter that was the hardest one to write for any reason? Or did it all kind of flow?
I think they all kind of flowed. Like, it felt really good once it started going. There was a couple where it's kind of, it can be tough when you go into like little periods of, I heard like an Aaron Sorkin interview, and he was saying, like, somebody asked him, like, do you ever go through writer's block?
Mm-hmm.
And when I was listening, I was like, please tell me you do. And he was like, oh no, like my default mode is writer's block. Like I'm living for the time when I'm not out of writer's block.
Do you feel that way?
I was like, I feel that so hard. Like you feel like your default mode is writer's block and that you're like, oh my God, I don't know what to write. And then when you break it, it just like explodes.
Yeah.
Like it's like a dam unleashing. It's just like a levee came open and everything flowed out. And so there's a couple that were like setup chapters that you kind of have to put some information in there. And those could be a little tough if you're not in the right mindset to write that kind of thing. But again, once you start, I feel like you just get so excited by your own characters and your own world that you, at least I just like kept going.
Yeah.
We had to shave a lot of writing out of it, actually.
Really?
Which, like, maybe we'll be able to share some of the extra stuff that we kind of like chopped a little bit, because we just, everybody who listens to this podcast, brevity is not my strong suit. I say it all the time.
She said it from day one.
And I was writing like an epic fantasy novel at this point. So we were like, we need to calm down and bring this into like a more digestible length.
I love that. It's so funny to hear that, like, you actually did experience writer's block, because all I know of you is to be writing. So I'm like, I feel like there's never a time where you're blocked. Like, I'm always seeing you just furiously typing.
And I think that's part of it too, is like, even if you're blocked, just write something.
Even if it's dumb. Garbage.
Even if you look at it later and you're like, what the hell was that? At least it's like, it gets some of it out, I think. It kind of unblocks a little bit of it.
Right. And obviously, like, we know this is your first novel. Did you take like writing classes, or did you take any kind of course or anything like that? Or did you just teach yourself how to do this?
I took a lot of like English courses and creative writing courses in college just because I liked them. They weren't my major by any stretch, but I liked them. And I always just wanted to write because I was a big reader my whole life. Like, my parents were big about books and reading. Yeah. Like, and I've passed it on to my kids now as like when... It was one of those things my mom was like, you're not going to get a toy every time you go to the store. You know how kids always want, like, you go to Target, they want a toy.
Of course.
But my mom was always like, no, you can't, that's not happening, but you can always have a book.
Yep.
Wherever we go, if I was like, can I have this book? She was like, yep. It was always, yep, you can have that book.
I remember when we would go to BJ's with her when we were little, and she would literally, like, set us off in the
book section.
When we were little, you've always, like, been, like, way older than, not way older than me, but older.
Yeah.
But she would, like, drop us in the little book section. She'd be like, all right, I'm going to go shopping. Find your books.
Yeah, like, pick out your books and we'll meet.
And she would always let us get however many we wanted.
So that's always been, like... Books have just been such a huge part of my life, and I always wanted to write one, but it always just seemed like a very daunting task to me.
Yeah.
To sit down and write a novel, and it is. But once you start doing it, if you love your idea and you feel like confident in your idea, then you'll do it.
So where did the idea for The Butcher and the Wren come from?
Just my own, and actually this was like, it started from like a little nugget from a dream that I had or a nightmare. And it was that somebody was chasing me and I couldn't see him. Ugh. And there was music blasting and we were outside, which was weird. And I felt like it was like swampy and gross and like I didn't know what was happening and I didn't know where I was running. And it was this open, like swampy bayou type atmosphere. And I like shot out of bed from it. And it was one of those dreams where your heart's racing and you're like adrenaline is pumping and you're like, oh,
you can you still feel like you're in it.
Yeah. And it kind of makes you feel like sick when you wake up because you're so shot out of adrenaline.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. And sometimes I'll write down like little snippets of dreams just because I think it's like interesting to look at later. But, and I've said this before to someone, I was like, usually I look at the notes and they're like nonsense. Like they make no sense.
I've seen them before.
Yeah. It's just like a purple chair. Roof. And like, you're like, I don't know what that is.
Tell Jim. You're yeah, like, who's Jim?
Tell Jim. I don't know what that is. And but this one, I was so awake that when I wrote down a little snippet of it, it was very coherent. And when I read it the next day, I was like, I wonder who that guy was. And then I was like, who would that guy be? And then I just started thinking about it. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to write like just a little page down and see if it's like sounds scary. And I just wrote it down and I started like fleshing him out a little bit. And then I started, like, really enjoying writing him.
And this is Jeremy.
Yeah, and I really wanted to know more about him. So I started coming up with, like, backstories for him and what would be, like, would he be clean? Would he be dirty? Like, would he be, like, you know, Otis Driftwood from House of a Thousand Corpses? Or is he, like, a Hannibal Lecter? Like,
more the
where
latter.
Is he? I would say he's definitely more the latter. And, but, like, it was just, it just took off from there. That scene and that. That ended up being the first scene that I ended up writing.
Got it.
That's where it all came from.
So you said Hannibal Lecter for sure. Is there anybody else that inspired Jeremy's character?
Probably. I'd say like that he's a good mashup of a lot of like horror movie characters that I love. Like he's definitely a Hannibal. He's definitely got bits and pieces of like American Psycho.
I could see that.
In there.
Or any, like, cases that we've covered, like, that haunted you? Did any people like that, like, seep into your writing ever?
I'm sure that the idea of, like him using sound, which scares him, to scare other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was, like, something that maybe crept into my head from cases that we've covered that just scare me so much that I was like, I feel like this needs to get out of my head. But I mainly went off of, like, horror things that I love just because it's like it's fiction, it's can be a little more like woo, you know what I mean? Like,
yes, very two very different.
Yeah, exactly. Like two very different brands of scary, I would say.
Definitely.
But he's definitely an amalgamation of like all my favorite horror villains.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, so then who is Wren? Who is Wren inspired by?
Wren is like who I want to be. Like, Wren is, like, everything.
I feel like Wren is who you are.
I appreciate that.
I do.
I put, like, little pieces of me into Wren, but she definitely has, like, traits that I, like, strive for as well. So I think she's just kind of, like, the goalpost
okay.
for me. She's, like, a goalpost character of, like, That's the goal.
Right and there. The book is told from Ren's point of view and Jeremy's yeah. point of view. We have dueling points of views.
Yeah, and it goes back and forth. So you'll get, sometimes you're going to get a scene from Ren's point of view and you'll get the same scene from Jeremy. So you get two very different ways of looking at a scene, which I that was fun to write.
I feel like I know these people. Like, I feel like I'm talking about people that like live over there.
I know, because we've talked about it so much and I've been like, well, I think I'm going to have Jeremy do this. And yes. like, I've talked about them like they're real people. So it really, they become real people.
They do. And I feel like you put so much of your knowledge from being an autopsy technician into the book. Like, that's very clear. Was there other research that you had to do outside of just what you knew already?
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of, I did a lot of crime scene protocol research.
Oh, cool.
Because, you know, that's always different and it can be different in different counties and different states. There's like, you know, I looked up like the hunting laws for wild hogs in Louisiana.
I don't think I've gotten to that part yet.
Yeah. So it's just like there's little things like that where it was like I had to look up like research into these like very weird like hunting things or something I don't know a lot about. So I did a ton of reading and research on that and like asked a few people I know that hunt.
Okay.
For, you know, for like as a hobby. So it was, I just wanted to know more about it. And like, you know, I talked to people who like grew up doing that with like their dad or their mom or right. like their brothers or sisters or something. And they kind of told me how that goes in a family dynamic. And that helped me to write this for sure.
I love that.
Yeah.
Kind of like really transitioning out of that here, out of like the whole writing process. And then when you found out that this book was actually going to be published, what was your first thought?
That it is pub day today.
Pub day.
And I'm sitting here and the book is sitting next to me. Multiple and I'm still books. Like, what? Like, I'm still like, is that real? Like, can I touch that? Like, we're going to go into like a store later just to look at it because I just want to see it in a store. Like, it's just such a wild, I think any writer and any author will agree that it is a very tough process, like mentally, emotionally,
oh yeah,
physically sometimes. And it's like you get a lot of radio silence for a long time with no updates or sometimes not great updates, and you're just like, you feel like you're getting beat down a little bit,
right?
But that when you get the yes, it's like nothing I've ever experienced. It's amazing
because it must just feel like you're putting your diary into the world.
That's exactly what it feels like,
right?
Especially with fiction, because it's like, this is just what I made up. Like, yeah. This is my, you know, like, it's me writing down this, like, fantasy story, mm-hmm. and then being like, okay, everybody, you can read this. It's like, usually you write these things down. I would write things like this down and then just never show anybody, because I was like, well, that's just my story.
Yeah.
It's like very vulnerable to just give it out there like that, but
yeah,
everybody's been so fucking amazing about it.
I know,
you've made me feel amazing.
Everybody has been really great.
Yeah, you really have.
I know you've had like such a good experience so far, and that makes me so happy.
Oh yeah,
I'm watching everybody. But I have a question for not only myself, but the people. I feel like this is a burning question for the people, especially people, because I know some people out there have already finished the book.
Mm.
And they're probably dying to know, have we seen the last of Ren and Jeremy? Are we going to see this duo again?
This duo.
I wouldn't necessarily say they're a dynamic duo.
No.
But.
So I'm not going to give anything away, but there is more of the story.
Okay.
For sure. I'm not saying that you're going to see both of them.
Got it.
Again, but I'm not saying you won't.
Okay.
I'm just saying the story will, we want to continue the story for sure.
Spoken like a true author. She's like, I don't know. You might get it. You might not.
Well, I've already started continuing the story. So it's still going, but I won't let you know who is involved.
I already know because I got to read a little bit. Ha ha. But for those of you who haven't heard any of this book yet, we are going to include a little snippet at the end here of, I think it is it the first chapter?
A portion of the first chapter.
Portion of the first chapter, and it's coming right up. So keep listening, keep buying copies of the book.
Woo!
And what do you want them to keep doing?
Keep being awesome and be kind to each other and support each other and high five each other.
Yeah, and if you think that you have an idea to write a book, fucking do it.
And write a fucking book if you want to. Do it. You can do it. I promise you. Even if it takes years and years, you'll get it done.
Hell yeah.
Do it.
Now it's time to make that hotline bling.
You'll get that reference in a second.
Jeremy hears the screaming through the vents, hears it, but doesn't react. His nighttime routine is essential. The mundane, everyday tasks that he engages in make him more himself. The simple act of wrenching on the ancient faucet on his tidy bathroom vanity grounds and centers him. His night usually ends standing in front of this mirror. He is freshly showered, and normally he follows it with a close, leisurely shave. He likes to crawl into bed with a clean body and mind. He takes the time to ensure these preparations happen nightly, regardless of any outside disruption. Tonight, a particularly loud screech pulls him from his routine. He stares into the mirror, feeling rage entangle itself into his senses. He can feel it rising like an invasive rot. He can't think with the almost rhythmic screaming now rising from the basement. For as long as he can remember, he has hated loud noises. As a child, he would feel his surroundings close in on him like a vice whenever he was amid the sounds of a crowded place. Now, the only noises he craves are those of the bayou. Its symphony of creatures soothes him like a warm blanket. Nature always makes the best soundtrack. He tries to block out the screaming. This routine is sacred. He sighs, pushing a piece of blonde hair that has fallen lightly against his forehead back into place and flicking on the radio next to the sink. The only other time he can find solace in sound is when he listens to music. As he prepares for relief, Hotline Bling by Drake blares through the speakers, and he flicks it off immediately. Sometimes he feels like he was born in the wrong generation. He slowly washes away the blood and grime from his hands, trying not to concern himself with the muffled, agonized moans that loudly escape through the heating vents. He looks hard at his face in the mirror. Each year, he feels as though his cheekbones have risen slightly and become more prominent. It is an oddly satisfying consequence that aging has thrust upon him, and he feels blessed for it. A lot of well-adjusted people admire a well-sculpted skull. Most of them don't even understand how primitively ominous that particular fixation is. Most people don't allow themselves to see the savage side of a psyche that was crafted millions of years ago out of their ancestors' often brutal need to survive. These are the traits that evolution deemed to be useful. People are just too dumb to understand that their own predilections are suggestive of a gene pool that is rooted in brutality. He doesn't necessarily look like someone entangled in depravity. He appears innocuous, and at times could look downright wholesome. That's why it all works. There is a plant called Amorphophallus titanum that is colloquially referred to as the corpse flower. It's large, beautiful, and without any outward mechanism that would suggest it is dangerous. Yet, when it blooms, every 10 years or so, it releases an odor that resembles rotting flesh. It survives, though. It thrives. He is not so different from the corpse flower. People flock to this curious plant, and it has cultivated a base of admiration despite its quirks. Tomorrow is Thursday. Thursdays are his Friday, but he truly hates when people say things like that. Regardless, he has enjoyed the luxury of taking Fridays off work since he started his second year at Tulane University's School of Medicine. Even though he has some classes to slog through, Fridays are the beginning of his weekend. His weekends are when he gets the most work done. He is particularly excited because he has real plans for his current house guests this upcoming weekend. Of course, executing those plans to their full potential relies on his ability to add one more to their group. Emily would indeed be joining them. It had been weeks of analysis after first initiating their partnership in biology lab, and he is now sure that she would bring the challenge he is craving. Emily jogs a few times a week and doesn't seem to fill her body with trash, so she likely has stamina. She lives with two roommates in Ponchatoula, where they rent a large old home together off campus. Aside from her willingness to reveal too much about herself to her new lab partner, she is competent, self-reliant, and intelligent, all of which would serve her well during his game.
If you like Morbid, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
In May of 1980, near Anaheim, California, Dorothy Jane Scott noticed her friend had an inflamed red wound on his arm and seemed unwell. She insisted on driving him to the local hospital to get treatment. While he waited for his prescription, Dorothy went to grab her car to pick him up at the exit, but would never be seen alive again, leaving us to wonder, decades later, what really happened to Dorothy Jane Scott. From Wondery, Generation Y is a podcast that covers notable true crime cases like this one and many more. Every week, hosts Aaron and Justin sit down to discuss a new case, covering every angle and theory, walking through the forensic evidence and interviewing those close to the case to try to discover what happened. And with over 450 episodes, there's a case for every true crime listener. Follow the Generation Y podcast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Generation Y ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.